If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and presence of the one self that is, all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Anchoring, Actualizing Your Goals by Implementing Your Next Step Plan and Strategy. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and clear your aura by flushing it with a divine white light. Just bring it all the way down through, out your feet, let the day go, let the thoughts go, take in another deep breath, and integrate and call forward your divine high self, your soul, your monadic I am presence, the whole enchilada. Bring in as much as you can, right down through your whole body and out through your feet. And anchor yourself firmly, here and now, on earth, in this place, and just be present. So let's start with chanting three hues. Deep breath. Hue. That serves to clear and cleanse the mental body and present a clear field for the reception of whatever would be your portion this evening and for your highest good. So to use one analogy, you could consider your life this time around as a blank white canvas, your mind as a palette of colors, and your thoughts the paintbrush strokes that create the design. So your life is your artistic expression. So why not make it uniquely yours and colorful? Now, we don't come in exactly with a blank white canvas, because we also bring in the causal body all of the talents, abilities, and experiences that we've ever had in any of our thousands and thousands of lifetimes on this and other planets. So we can tap into those ideals, these talents and abilities that we have. But generally in each incarnation, we set out to tap into certain ones that we intend to actualize and manifest to the degree that we're able to in that lifetime. So the challenge for all of us, I believe, in manifesting our goals tangibly is moving from our ideals to its practical manifestation. And that's where so many of us get bogged down. You could say that intention is the divine force that is evidenced in actual accomplishment. So based on results, it's easy to see why a failure is always due to a lack of clear intention. For example, we all want peace. At least that's the ideal we express on our Christmas cards and in common rhetoric. And yet how many of us actually live peacefully within our own homes and within our own family members? Or within our own minds and emotions. So how many do you know who are entirely centered in peace all of the time? Are you? Right. If you're completely honest, no one, unless you've been in the presence of an enlightened master or avatar. So the Course in Miracles defines peace like pregnancy. It is altogether total or not at all. And yet peace is ever present. But we are not actually choosing peace because we prefer to be right and to hold to our opinions and judgments. So that's usually the case. I suppose we have our good moments, don't we? But why haven't we had peace on this planet yet? It's because we don't make the connection between our personal daily state of consciousness and global peace. And yet there's only one here. There's only the one divine self as all there is. There is nothing else. There's only the energy and consciousness of the one self. So what our habit is to leave it to someone or something else to intervene from without to establish peace for us. And still, it all awaits our own realization that we are that one self. Yeah, we wait. We await divine intervention in the form of a Messiah, or the advanced beings from other worlds to come and clean up our mess and solve all our problems and establish peace. But we do not understand how peace begins and ends with our own self. Our own self-awareness and realization. And that requires our own self-directing into peaceful coexistence with everyone. So, you see, in the Piscean cycle, the Piscean age that we are gradually moving out of, that age was an age of idealism, governed by the sixth ray energy of devotion to an ideal. And without a chosen ideal, how could devotion arise? So the sixth ray produced many wonderful saints and martyrs who gave their own lives rather than renounce their ideals. So the sixth ray predominantly governs religion and every altruistic movement to better the human condition. Thus, the sixth ray has, played a major role in all of our social service organizations, like hospitals and charitable and missionary outreaches. So, a great amount of goodness has been accomplished by the Piscean Age sixth ray energies. However, each of the seven rays, which give the color and qualifications of our life here on the planet and throughout the solar system, each of the seven rays has its positive qualities and its negative aspects. And the major fault of the sixth ray is impracticality. The ideals tend to stay upon the plane of wishful thinking and emotional sentimentality, but rarely get expressed in an individual's daily life. With a sixth ray, there's a tendency to believe that once something is understood or recognized intellectually or felt emotionally, that it is accomplished and that there's no real need for personal physical implementation. And that's why goodwill, ongoing goodwill, 24/7 goodwill towards everyone and everything all the time, is so absent in our world. We often hear people say, maybe we've said it too, if we all could just personally practice ongoing goodwill, we could stop all wars for all time. But you see, that is part of that impracticality again. You're never going to get everyone doing the same thing all the time. That's just wishful thinking. So the only person and the only mindset you will ever be able to change is your own. Now, The seventh incoming ray, which is governing more and more of the energies on our planet, is of the Aquarian age. And the seventh ray has the quality of crystallizing and concretizing energies and organizing them into form physically. So there's a whole new energy of densification, actualization, rhythmic implementation of how we organize energy and bring them to bear upon the planet. One of the ways you're seeing the seventh ray come in is through new city planning and new architectural designs, because architecture itself is governed by the seventh ray. So, and of course, you see that very much in the worlds of business and finance. There's a rhythmic moving of the energy that constitutes the exchange of items and the moving of items and the production of items that is governed by the seventh ray. So we're going to see more and more of the technology that enables not only a concretization of our ideals into physical actual forms, more beautiful cities, more functional environments, more eco-friendly and eco-aware lifestyles, but we're also going to see that the ideals we cherished in the influence of the previous age will start to manifest now through communities, through joining together in teamwork and rhythmic activity that we do as a team player. You're going to see more of the energies of organization and also community coming into play here. So, the dreams and ideals and goals and visions that have tended to remain simply as wishful thinking, you're going to see a shift, a real shift. In fact, you're already seeing that occur as people are doing simple things, like, for example, volunteer groups that go out on bicycles and plant and maintain gardens in place of where there were lawns before. There's a whole group that's doing that here in California. There's a whole group that's doing that downtown in Los Angeles. They're finding those places where there was just kind of like where people would toss garbage and, you know, cups and stuff out their window. And it was just a, you know, a little plot, a small little plot of ground. There's a whole group of people that volunteer and go out. And overnight, because it's against the law, I guess, to do it in the daylight, overnight, they'll transform that little plot, and they'll put something there that grows food, or they'll put something there that adds to the beauty. And in that way, they're transforming whole neighborhoods that before had, barren lots with, trash and broken glass and stuff. They're transforming them. So that's a way you're seeing some of this idealism to have a more beautiful and functional and harmonious and workable world is starting to come through. I'm seeing it very much in city planning and the improvement of the environment itself. So when we don't move forward on the things that we say we want to do, generally it's because we don't know how. We don't know what the next step is. That's where we need to devise a plan, a strategy, something that gets us from where we are now to where we would be in terms of our goal. And to do that, you need step A, step B, you need to have a sequential unfoldment of a protocol that enables you to gradually accomplish the goal that you set before yourself. So the other thing that happens when we don't know what the next step is that we'll tend to procrastinate, delay, dawdle around, but take no action now, today, but kind of wait and see what'll happen or what opens up or daydream on. So to achieve any goal, one must follow a well-thought-out plan, step by step. And when you realize that that great musician, that dancer, that artist, architect, business tycoon, or athlete started out by taking lessons. They started out by learning about whatever it was they wanted to do and accomplish. Maybe they took courses, but whatever they did, they practiced every day, until they perfected their skill and technique. Today, we can see the same sixth ray in practicality affecting us spiritually. Many have become influenced by metaphysical and New Age positive thinking kind of approaches, where they think, well, if they think positive long enough, it will manifest all on its own without them having to do anything in particular to make that happen other than think positive thoughts. The thing of it is, you think positive thoughts maybe, what, a minute or two during the day? And the rest of the time, your subconscious programming is running the show. Now, if you've developed a lot of habits of procrastination and dawdling and wasting time and ditzing around, taking the next step, you know, time passes and you don't fulfill the goals that you really wanted to fulfill. Many people believe that just by changing their diet or wearing high vibrational colors or reading a few metaphysical books or listening to channeled entities, that they're ready to ascend. How? They're not really quite sure, but they know it's up and out of here. And yet that's all simply a matter of astral idealism, glamour and attachment to practical ideals that have no way to be implemented and grounded in any tangible form physically. So, as we've pointed out, ascension requires full descension into one's body and living in a transcendental yet grounded state of awareness here and now. There is no over and out. There is no rapture in the sky. There is no beaming up and being perfected and beaming back down. It's here that we must master the self. It's here we must implement the divine plan and actualize it in a transformed presentation, personally and collectively. Then there are many who say, I don't need a teacher. I'm my own teacher. So let me ask you, do you think you could fly a plane across the ocean without having trained with a seasoned flight instructor? So the way it's set up down here is that we all learn from the one that's ahead of us on the path. And we're all helping those who are coming up the trail behind us. Plus, we are all working and serving from the level we've attained. So that says that we're all students, servers, and teachers, no matter what level of attainment we've achieved. And that's really a humbling place, because that means that there is room for everyone's voice, everyone's vibratory state of consciousness, everyone's contribution, everyone's lens of perception. There's no one way, right way it has to be. It's the way that it is for you, here and now, until you shift to another level. And then that way becomes the way it is here and now. And we keep upgrading, and we keep advancing, and we keep changing. Because when you know more, you're able to function with greater awareness. When you've had more experience, you're able to manifest a greater proficiency or mastery. And so this is the natural way of things, the normal way of things. And it doesn't leave room for any envy or jealousy of anyone else, because we're all just variations of the one self anyway. So who's to be jealous of? Yourself. That's why whatsoever you do to another, you've done to yourself. There is no other. There's only yourself. So, to arrive at any destination, you have to establish a path. You have to establish a practice, a strategy, and align yourself with a trustworthy guide or mentor who's been there and accomplished whatever it is that you would like to accomplish. So let me ask you, do you have a goal that you'd like to achieve? It could be to attain anything. So what would you like to achieve? You know, whether short or long term, decide what is important enough for you to work out a plan to attain your goal. Devise a goal-focused strategy for yourself. Or, in what ways are you already fulfilling your goal? In other words, have you already embodied your goal? Or are you in process of embodying your goal right now? Maybe you are. However, if not, it would be useful to, as clearly as you possibly can, imagine what your life would look and feel like having attained your goal. One time I thought I had won a couple $1 million. And so for a period of about 2 months, I very carefully designed how I was going to use that amount of money, who I was going to put through school, who I was going to assist, who I was going to tithe and sponsor. I also picked out an apartment that I wanted to move to live in that was nearby. I was in Seattle at the time. And I also picked out a car. It was interesting because I picked a modest apartment, not extravagant. I picked an economy car, but most of the money I wanted to invest in assisting people that I thought would really make the most of that assistance. I also planned for financial management. You know, how would that money be utilized? Would it be put in a trust? Would it be a portion of it be invested in the stock market? You know, all of that. But it enabled me to actually feel and experience and embody what it would be like to have unlimited financial resources. Unlimited. And what surprised me was that I found I would make very, very little change to how I actually lived or my lifestyle. So it was not going to enhance my life in terms of being more luxurious or lavish or comfortable, but it would be a tool that I could use and put to very good use. What happened shortly thereafter, and by the way, when it didn't come to pass, I didn't feel a loss at all. I felt grateful for having had the experience of being able to actually operate from that premise for a period of time. But what happened to me was, out of the blue, someone sent me $10,000. I have no idea how that could have happened. I have no idea. Simply, $10,000 came to me. And I didn't do anything with it for a whole year. I just kept it aside because I figured the masters probably wanted me to travel. Well, they did. So I traveled to Israel twice. I traveled to India twice. I lived in India for close to a year. And then I made 5 different tours with the Benny Hinn ministry to sing in their big 1,000-person choir for these big healing crusades that they were holding throughout the United States. And I got a lot of bang for my buck. I was able to do a lot of things in spreading the light and the love and the sound through my voice, through the singing, through the traveling, which is really what I'm here on the planet to do anyway. So sometimes things come to you, but it's left up to you to discern how to use these things. You could say it's a gift of grace or a funding from the spiritual hierarchy, which it is and was. But also, we're always left free as to how we're actually going to utilize an opportunity or an open window of opportunity or something that's presented to us, a windfall of money, whatever. So it's not like it we're programmed like robots where we have to wait until somebody tells us what to do. No, we're here to discern. We're here to listen to that quiet voice inwardly of our conscience and our sense of what's right and appropriate to move on and to move on it. So I would advise you to go right ahead and move into the havingness of your goal's attainment. Mock it up as real and as tangibly as you possibly can to where you feel it as an actual accomplished fact. Now, that's one of the big secrets of manifestation, is to live from the end result, or to act as if. Because again, out of time, such as we know it, it's already accomplished, it's already done. There's a parallel probable reality for every possible outcome. But it's only actualized when you step into and make that choice. Then it comes alive as a reality for you. So that's why it's so important to take a step, any step, in the direction of where your heart and your interests and your passions and your desire is pointing you. Now, once you've got that feeling going, clearly imprint it. Clearly image in and imprint that feeling so your whole nervous system gets it. And that's what's happened to me, you know, with a little $2 million dance and $10,000 dance. And then ask yourself, take a look, and see how does your present life differ from that. How much is remaining in the wishful thinking and wanting stages? Now, just give a look. Be real honest with yourself. What needs to be upgraded or perhaps tossed out? Or are you already living and embodying your goal right now, but perhaps haven't realized it? This is a big thing. I had a funny dream vision happen to me. I was shown by my inner master that I was going up and down, up and down, up and down the ladder to the top of the roof. And he said, why don't you stop climbing up and down the ladder and stay on the roof and enjoy the view? So sometimes pursuing a goal, you get so much into the pursuit of it that you haven't realized you moved into it a long time ago. And you just need to be present with it and enjoy it and savor it and enjoy the view from the mountaintop, if you will. A lot of us on the spiritual path, I believe, we're at a stage where we need to enjoy more of the view and perhaps let go of more of the striving to attain, but to recognize what you have attained, which oddly enough, is hard to do because you live inside that attainment, inside that self that you are. And so that's the only thing that you know. You might not realize the state that you're in unless you go out into the world and interact with others who are not in that state. And it's not a judgment, it's just a recognition. Oh, wow. I seem to be living in a different state of consciousness here. Not better, not lesser, none of that. We don't go there. But just as a quiet recognition that, wow, all those years of meditation and chanting my initiatory tone and putting my butt down on the chair and doing something, all of that has paid off. That's because you kept walking toward your goal. Let's say it was soul transcendence. Let's say it was spiritual liberation. Let's say it was samadhi. You kept walking that path. You kept doing that spiritual practice. Even though it didn't at the time look like it was doing a thing, your intention and your consistency of just doing the practice. One day, you simply, very naturally, arrived at your goal. But again, you may not have realized it. So do take time, as they say, to smell the flowers or to enjoy the view from the mountaintop. Sure, you're going to go back down the mountain because there's a whole suffering world down there in that valley of despair and darkness and ignorance. And the Dharma that we all have, once we have had any genuine experience of God, that is to say, when we have developed any modicum of divine love, our Dharma then is to go forth and to share it. You know, we never attain anything in spirit for the separated self. It is always to be given away. And so ours is a life of continual expansion, of service. We transcend this planet and this life and this solar system, and we go forth into the cosmos to serve in other universes, other galaxies, other dimensions of ongoing life. It never ends. Enlightenment is endless. There's always a plus factor in spirit. So let's get even more specific. What is your spiritual goal for this incarnation? Describe how you see that manifesting in your life right now. How are you currently moving toward your goal or actualizing it right now? Or how would your life be different than it is right now if you've already attained that state that was your original goal? Or what are you doing today instead of embodying and living your goal's attainment? Or again, as we just mentioned, have you already attained your goal? Look and see. Now, if you're very, very young, you're not probably going to relate to a lot to what I'm saying because you're still sorting yourself out and finding where you fit. But the older you get, the more you realize that your life has been divinely unfolded with a plan that left nothing lacking. Every little step somehow found, your feet found it. So it's wonderful to find evidence in how you are living your greater life right now. And how you have moved through the ongoing challenges that are part and parcel of Earth mastery, Earth school mastery, We have to master every level of our being here on Earth. This is a school of mastery. And you don't master anything without tests and trials and challenges and difficulties. In fact, the more difficult your life path, the more you are accomplishing in this lifetime. And bear in mind, the objective is not to be happy here. There's no happiness here. It's not to be comfortable here. Have you noticed everything hurts? There's so little comfort here, it's amazing. There's always something that's annoying or hurting or demanding your physical attention. Just feeding the body and dressing it, cleaning it up, keeping it functioning takes up so much time. And regardless of what you do or you don't do, it ages and it's going to die at some point. So it's not getting too caught up in building a mansion and shifting sand. You're not staying here. You're moving through this chrysalis of consciousness plays and experiential realms, but it's passing through. It's not building a mansion here. It's not trying to find what only can be found within your own self-realization, which is lasting happiness, security, and peace. It's not found out there. But you tell a young, inexperienced soul that, and it's not going to hear you, because it has to go through many more incarnations until it gets its fill. And everyone has its own timing to awaken and to lay aside, as Paul would put it in the Bible, the things of childhood, and to take upon themselves a more mature spiritual life. So what's your biggest challenge? What is that? What is your challenge? And that's where your lessons lie. That's where your mastery is pointing you. Master that. Overcome that. Transcend that. Live larger, beyond that. That's what you're to do right now. So you'll find that you're more skilled in mastering and objectively viewing situations in your life as you progress through the experiences and the meeting the challenges. Your awareness keeps expanding. Your toolbox of applicable tools keeps getting larger. You have more of a skill set to operate out of. And pretty soon you find that you're staying neutral and non-reactive for longer and longer periods of time. And where you used to react and get out of balance, you find a strength and a sort of a centered neutrality has taken the place of your former taking things so personally and reacting. And these are, you know, the perks that come. And just gradually, one step after another, pursuing your spiritual practice. And time to time, you need to examine what you need to do to move to your next level. If it's too easy for you to do and it's starting to get a little boring, it may be because you've outgrown it and the energy is backing off of it. So never stay in a stagnant place or be loyal to anything that has served its purpose. That's a big one. You know, it's a big one for a lot of us. We stay beyond the need to stay in a group, an organization, a teaching, whatever. You have to keep moving on, moving on, moving on. So as you see it, what is the next step before you today? What would your life expression be if you simply lived true to your highest convictions right now? And what keeps you from doing just that? Are you willing to let that go? How will you do that? You have to develop a strategy, don't you? And when will you do that? You have to commit to a time. And then just do it. Make not doing it no option. I have found making something no option leaves your lower self no wiggle room to escape. For example, you're going to stop smoking, okay? Make smoking not an option, or any, you know, bad habit you want to get rid of. Make it no longer an option. Just end cycle on it. I can't tell you the number of bad habits I have overcome taking just that approach. Or if you get married, you know, and make divorce not an option. Be committed to working as pathmates to realize within your relationship the one self that animates both of your forms. You know, that commitment is so important to make in anything where you want to develop strength of character and integrity. So, actually, I believe I'm quite qualified to speak about setting and attaining goals. Because so far, I have accomplished all of the goals that I set out to fulfill in this particular incarnation. So, at present, I'm living from a state of fulfillment. That's not to say that I'm finished or done with life or anything of that nature. It's just that what I had set out to accomplish in this incarnation, I have attained and accomplished. So I'm basically here to serve and to help others in fulfilling their goals, spiritually primarily. My work is primarily on the spiritual levels. So I would say that as a first step, the most important thing is to identify your goal and then to hang out in the places and with the people who are involved with that area of life and are skilled in the area of your interest. For example, at the age of 11, I wanted to be a bareback riding equestrian in the circus. So, since I was living close to an amusement park that had circus acts featured every summer, I hung out with the Poodles Hannaford bareback riding family, and they came to know me during the next 2 years, and they knew my aspiration to become a bareback rider. They didn't realize I was as young as I was. But when one of their girl riders had to leave their troop, they immediately sent me a telegram to come and join them as a rider. And, you know, I arrived there, barely turned 13. My mother drove me to Richmond, Virginia from Ohio, where we were living. And I was accepted as an apprentice with the Poodle Hannaford family, which was a very, very famous at that time comedic bareback riding family from England. So I was with them for 3 years. And so the time came when that goal had been attained, because I went on to perform in the circus for a little less than 8 years. But it was time to move on to the next thing. So I accepted my father's invitation to come home to Denver and attend Denver University. And so then I wanted to study acting and become an actor. And that, too, after some time, I accomplished to my satisfaction, and I felt the draw to move on to what was next. Next would be dancing in a dance company. And so that's what I did for a few years, until that, too, had been accomplished, and it was time to move on to next. Next was my training for my mission as a teacher for the Ashtar Command. And that choice to study under my first teacher launched me into my present and ongoing life's work and Earth mission, which I'm still in process of fulfilling. So what is meant for us shows up mainly in two ways. Something captivates our interest, and we get drawn into association with those who are involved in that area of expertise. Second, we begin an apprenticeship, our training, to learn that skill or trade. Now, that can involve vocational schooling or going to a university or the school of hard knocks. I've kind of done a little bit of all of those. Or freelance study with various mentors. But there's always that factor of needing to put in the time to learn and master your area of interest. Obviously, I came in to complete many, many different, probably desires that I'd had, you know, in previous lifetimes, having been a guru in my last four lifetimes. I can imagine I had a lot of fantasies about coming to America and having an exciting, adventuresome life and traveling and, you know, all of the really great adventures I've had in this incarnation. But I've noticed that my life, that during and in my life, things, people, resources, open doors, opportunities, invitations to join or participate, these arrive on schedule as required. And I believe that's true for everyone. There are cycles in which there are doors of opportunity that open. And there you have to have the courage to step out into the unknown, sometimes with nothing more than a sense inwardly that I got to do this, I don't know why, I'm scared, this may fail, this may be the worst mistake in my life, but whatever, I got to do it. And you have the courage to just step forward. I've found that you're never abandoned when you have that kind of faith and courage. So, when the time came for me to do this spiritual teaching work full-time, I met Dr. Torkham Saradarian, a spiritual teacher who was a disciple of the Mahatma Maurya. And he told me I was to teach. And I said, well, I know, but I don't know how to get started. So he showed me how to get started. He laid out the steps one by one I was to take, and I followed his protocol. You see, I'd already had the training. The knowledge was all there to be shared. I just needed to know how to get started sharing it. Because among the things that I fulfilled was many, many years in which I was a student under various masters and in various organizations, such as the Arcane School, where I was given a thorough grounding in the esoteric wisdom teachings of East and West. And so I was prepared. I was prepared to teach. I had 3 years of training by the Ashtar Command directly. So getting going was all that I needed. I needed to know how to take the next step. Now, it was easy, really, but Dr. Saradarian was the one that had the connections I lacked at the time. So he gave me a list of people to invite to a lecture that he'd led me to believe that he was going to deliver. We were living in Santa Barbara at the time. So he told me to locate and book a free room in the local library for the talk to be given. So I did just as he told me. And the people came and they filled the room. And I stood up and I introduced Dr. Saradarian to speak. But then he turned and introduced me as the speaker. And I was taken by surprise. I think he did that on purpose because he knew I was shy by nature and I would have obsessed and worried myself sick if I knew I was the one that was going to have to give the talk. But as it is, I never have any problem talking. Once I'm off and running, I'm off and running. But I think that's why he set it up that way, to enable me to just spontaneously speak without, that fear factor taking me over. So I delivered my impromptu talk because I had done my homework. So I knew my subject very well. It was the esoteric wisdom teachings of the masters. And then the people, mostly theosophists and students of the Alice Bailey and DK books, they wanted more. So then I was told to invite them to attend weekly classes to be held in my Santa Barbara apartment, which I did. Now, from there, I was invited by one of the class participants to speak and lead meditations and to dance, to do sacred dances during the full moon gatherings. And so I traveled throughout the Santa Barbara area and surrounding areas and became rather well known as a teacher and esotericist. So it was one of the women in the classes also that ultimately invited me to see a film about a young Indian holy man by the name of Sai Baba. And thus I found my guru from my previous life, or rather, he found me. He came for me. And from there, I met the woman who had been my adopted mother in that past life with Shirdi Sai Baba, and she introduced me to John Roger, who was my destined lifelong teacher and mentor. You see, the avatar comes as a world teacher for everyone, but I needed also a specific mentor and teacher that, for me, needed to be a Western teacher, because otherwise I would have gone back into the old rut of living in the ashram and following a outer form as a devotee, and it was to break that cycle. You see, that old cycle that I was placed with a Western teacher, a very outrageous Western teacher at that. So that now is 47 years later, and I've traveled around this planet some 29 times. I've been all over the North American continent speaking, teaching, doing workshops, and carrying on this work. And now this BBS radio show, this very month, the 7th of this month, I believe, completed its 9th year. So that's how it all unfolded for me. And I think if you pay attention, you'll see how the dots to your own destiny have unfolded one by one. That is, if you've lived enough years to where you can get that overview and that sense of connection. If you're younger, that lies ahead of you. But just take it that there is a divine soul plan and design that points you in a direction that you are to go. And it's for you to discern and intuit that direction and to choose to step into those windows of opportunity as they present. Don't dawdle, don't hesitate, and don't vacillate. Develop that sense of confidence in that which lives within you as you, that is greater than that personal self that is in the world. God lives in you as you and arises within you as a strong sense of intention. Intentionality is the manifestation of the divine spirit within you. So be adamant in your intention. As your intention, so will be your manifestation. They're absolutely one and the same. So if your intention is consistent and firm and clear, you absolutely cannot fail in attaining your goal. And having said all of that, you know, it's the oddest thing and highest truth. We've never been here. You know, we're not a body. We're not a victim of the world we see. The world we see exists nowhere but within our minds. And yet the weirdest thing is we have to act as if it were totally real, as if it was terribly important, and as if it all mattered. Isn't that interesting? I find that amazing. That even though we're one with God, we've never left the heart of God, we're perfect and pure and sacred souls forever and ever, we still have to act as if we're becoming that, as if we were developing that for the first time. But that seems to be the way things are set up. So I wanted to share that with you tonight, bringing in some of my own personal background and history, not to talk about myself in any special way, but to let you know that sometimes your life has a lot of completion patterns where you think you want to do something, but then, you know, it comes to the end where you outgrow that or you transcend it or your priorities shift. And I think a lot of my early life was to keep me out of mischief so that my body could grow up to where I could be sent for training by the Ashtar Command to do the work that I've come to do. And then sent to Sai Baba and John Roger to attain spiritual liberation in this lifetime. So sometimes our life, well, I would say always our life, has a timing and a cycle for the different things to be actualized. For example, if you're a young wife or a young father with children to raise, you have to do your dharma. You have to fulfill your duty to your family and your children before this more expanded life can open up to you. So be patient and know that if it's for you, you can't miss it. It will find you and you will find it. So I hope that's been encouraging and helpful to you. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on IHU. Blessings and grace to one and all. Namaste.